called him up, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar, upon the lid. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife, and slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Abraham looked behind him. One further text, please, in John's Gospel, the 8th chapter of John's Gospel. Notice the teaching of the Lord Jesus in verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Abraham looked ahead. Abraham, look around you. Abraham, look up to heaven. Abraham, look behind you, look back, and look ahead. Four looks that God gave to dear Abraham, and they're teaching lessons that are really very relevant. And I trust that you will see tonight, my dear friend, that they are very important for each one of us, beginning with the speaker. It is wisdom when we listen to the instruction of God. When God said to dear Abraham, take a look around you, Abraham. Now, if Abraham was going to look at the people that were around him, Abraham was an alien. He had left his home country of Ur of the Chaldees. He had gone out into a land that he had never possessed and had never seen before. God called him there, and whenever God calls a man, and whenever God gives a word to a man, he always stands behind his word. May I say to every one of us here tonight, my friend, when God teaches you anything from His Word, you can trust Him. He'll stand behind it. If He gives you a promise, He will make it good. If He gives you to see your need of Christ as your Savior, He means every word of it, and He'll make it good to you. When God speaks, you can trust Him. And when dear Abraham heard the word of God, you take a look around you, Abraham. He saw difficulties. He saw mountains. He saw people who were literally in themselves strong, armed people, and he had no army. He was a man of wealth. He was a man of great acumen, actually, in business. He was a very good businessman. But Abraham was not a warrior. But one thing that Abraham knew, when God speaks to me, it's mine to obey. It's mine to be blessed by obedience. My friend, that is the truth of the gospel. When we read in the scriptures concerning God's message of good news for mankind today, for that's really what the word gospel means, good news from God. It's amazing. And friend, it ought to get your ear tonight. It ought to get the ear of everyone that is here tonight, that there is news from heaven, and thank God it's good news. That's the amazing part of it. You and I do not deserve good news from a holy God, for we are sinful by choice and by nature. We do not merit good news from heaven, but the marvel of it is the God of heaven, friend, He loves us, and He loves you. Individually, each person in this audience tonight can claim the love of the infinite God of eternity For his word has said it. You see the text here to my right hand above my head? God so loved the world. Marvelous statement. I love that word. That means without distinction. He has loved all men without distinction. Friend, I need not know your history to be able to present a message to you that will be relevant. I present Christ to you. He is God's gift to a world without distinction. I hope that you will take it in tonight. And when dear Abraham is instructed of God to take a good look around him and then take a good look up into heaven, marvelous thing, a touching look indeed it was when Abraham looked into heaven. And then God told him to look behind him, look back. And that was a moving sight. Ah, it was the salvation of his son when he obeyed God and looked back. And when he looked ahead, ah, the glory that he saw. I trust that you will take a good look ahead tonight, friend. Look beyond the sphere of death. Look into the world to come. And look at what God has to say about it, that you might be in a hurry to get the matter settled about the assurance of your eternal deliverance from judgment that lays ahead and lies ahead of every soul who dies as they were born, sinful before God, without having received the sinner's Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, may I speak to our hearts a little for the opening part of this meeting tonight to take a good look around us. Most interestingly, God divides the nations of our world by north, south, east, and west. Now we often, and we all do, of course, realize that when we speak of the east and we think of the Middle East, we think immediately of Jerusalem. You know what's the most interesting thing, that all the directions of our world are centered from Jerusalem? That's something. That's amazing. And amazingly, it's scriptural. I don't suppose that men really understand that that's exactly what they're doing. But can I say to you kindly also, friend, the Bible reveals there's a day that is coming, and I believe it's far nearer than we realize, far nearer than we expect, when that city of Jerusalem, yonder in the sod of Palestine, is going to be the center of the world. Relative to the economies of our world, relative to the spiritual revelations of our world, for it's going to be centered in Christ. And all the elements that man lives with socially, racially, and all the elements of the economy as well will all find their center right in Jerusalem. But what I want you to notice tonight is to see what God has to say about the north, south, east, and west. I don't think that it is difficult for anyone here tonight, not even the dear children, from their studies in school or from what they may hear from parents or hear in the news and the radio, to realize that the nations whom God describes as the nations of the north are moving all together according to the Bible. Who are the nations of the north? The Syriac nation. It's northern limits of the land of Palestine. Move away yonder into those nations and you will find a continuous movement against that little piece of sandbar called Palestine on the Mediterranean Sea. What did the man say, the king of Syria, say one time? Push them into the sea. God says you watch those people in the north. Because, my friend, tonight, as you read in the Bible, we find that all the movement of these nations are all in keeping with one theme. Christ will come back again. He's coming back to this world. He promised to come the first time. And can I say, friend, you and I are very much aware he kept his promise. He came. He came in the fashion that he said he would come, born of a virgin. He came to the very town he said he would come to, in Bethlehem. And when he said, I will come again, he will keep his word. He is going to step to the air on his way to this earth to receive out of the world all who have trusted him with their souls for their eternal salvation from the righteous judgment which their sins deserve. He's going to bring them to himself to take them out of the world before the tribulation judgments fall upon this earth. And they will fall solemnly. But those nations of the north, God is going to use them as a tool to seek to bring the Jewish people back to their land and restore them to himself. And friend, you can see that the thing is already moving. Said God to Abraham, look at the south. And as you look at the south, God has in his word, when you read through Ezekiel and read through Isaiah, you will find it's the African nations. God is going to use them. Do I see a movement in that land? There were never so many individual nations in that great continent of Africa as there are today. Why is that? Because they're separating their identity in their relationship. And that which has to do with the Jews. What a tremendous movement. My friend, it's cataloged. It's all put into the news element. It's a solemn reality. What does it mean to you as you sit in this little room tonight? What does it mean to me as I stand before you tonight that these nations are all moving in keeping with divine promise, preparing themselves to enter into the realm of the fulfillment of God's word to bring his people back and restore their spirits to cry out for their Messiah, their Savior, and he will come. He will step again, and those lovely feet will stand upon the dust of Mount Olives. In that coming day, marvelous moment, what does it mean to us? It means, my friend, that the day of opportunity for the gracious offers of the gospel to that men may have their sins forgiven and their souls delivered from righteous judgment will swiftly be brought to a close when the Lord Jesus steps to the air and when the nations are moving, it's time for men to take a good look at it and realize that time is short. I don't believe we can emphasize that enough, friend. We live too shallowly. We're living only for today. You're not take a good look around you. My friend, take an honest look at what the Bible says of the Eastern nations. Look at China in its movement. Ah, they call it the Great Bear. Let me tell you what God calls it in his word. You say, what does he call it? The bear. That's what he calls it. It's moving. The thing's coming out of hibernation in a manner that the nations are fussing as to how they're going to be able to handle the thing economically. It can't be helped. Why? Because God has said so. My friend, it's time that you and I take a good look at these things. Those of us who are saved by God's grace tonight, we live far too shallowly in view of the fact that the nations are moving for the great day when I'll hear the shout. Step away from earth to behold my Savior, who loved me, bore my sins in his own body upon Golgotha's tree. He loved me, he's worth living for, and he's worth dying for. That blessed Savior, would to God we looked around this war. Take a good look at what the Bible says as to the movement of the nations economically. That's found in James chapter 5. It's all predicted by God. And all the labor problems and all the fashion of labor problems predicted in the Bible being carried out. My dear friend, tonight God is not sleeping. And the things of God are being carried out. And it's time that you, young men, young women, take a good look around you. You're living in a momentous hour in the history of this world where the Lord Jesus is coming back again. And when he steps to the air, and that mighty shout is given, and those who have trusted him are caught away to be with him in new bodies, like unto his own, never to be touched by sin again. What a Savior. My friend, I wish I could tell you about him like I'd like to tonight. He's a marvelous Savior. And every soul, every sinner who has taken him at his word, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. One Sunday night, this poor sinner took him at his word, and he gave me the assurance, my sins are blotted out, past, present, and future. The price was paid at Calvary, and the moment I turned to him in my sin, he gave me everlasting life. then you can't afford to pass that up. And it's time to get stirred up about it. The day of opportunity is quickly coming to its close. Take a good look around you. Read your paper in view of the scriptures. Look at the happenings of earth, even the social issues that we're looking at today. They astound you, don't they? Well, you hardly know how to handle them. And you say, well, we've got to live with them. Exactly what the book of the Revelation shows. The social issues of our day are going to be the issues of what is called right. And those who stand by the old-fashioned system are going to be called wrong. That's exactly what's taking place. Take a good look around you, friend. Look at it. The opportunity for you to receive eternal salvation for your soul, for you were born a sinner, that you could not help. You have chosen to sin, that you could help. But friend, you have sinned, so have I. Sin brings us into the degrees of divine judgment in the coming day. But because of who we are, we must stand as a sinner before God. And God, in all the wonder of His unmeasured and unmerited love, He has provided a Savior for sinners to deliver them, to rescue them in the person of His unique and co-equal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, friend, take a good look around you. Time is short for men to get down to business with God and receive the gift of His eternal salvation. Did God, Abraham, take a look into heaven? I love to look into heaven. I can't see beyond the blue stars, the blue sky and the stars any more than you can. Don't misunderstand my statement when I say that. But I love to lift my eyes to heaven and be able to say in the language the Lord Jesus has given to those who trust Him, to call God my Father. Ah, friend, it's one of the sweetest things in my life. And I'd like to tell you the sweetest moments of my life are just to be able to spend time before the God of heaven as my Father and look up to heaven. I remember there was a time in my life, if I ever thought of looking up to heaven, I mean not only physically but spiritually, to face the realities of what is in heaven, I was afraid. For I knew that I'd sinned against the word of the God of heaven. And my friend, that's what shuts a person out of heaven, their sins. You take a good look into heaven tonight, my dear young man and young lady. Dear father and mother, take a good look into heaven. There is a God in heaven. He is a sovereign God. He is a holy God who never compromises with one sin. And there is no respect of persons with him. Before I received the assurance of my salvation, I dreaded that truth. Oh, how I wished I could just change it just a little bit, that God would make some kind of a difference for me. But now, as I see the great truth of his salvation, I'm glad he's no respecter of persons. That's the reason he punished His holy, beloved Son, for every one of my sins. He never shoved one of them under the rug. They're all paid for. They've all been punished. That's the great truth of the gospel. My friend, you take a good look into heaven tonight. The God of heaven in all His power, in all His sinlessness, and in all the holiness of His eternal being, you must meet Him. God caused that to fall upon you. Amos chapter 4 and verse 12, listen to the word of God. Prepare to meet thy God. Now you may argue with that, but it will never put it away. You may say, I don't believe in God, but He won't change it. The day will come when He will summon you into His presence. Prepare to meet thy God. Take a good look into heaven. But as I leave that, could I say there's one other thing that you'll see in heaven? You'll see a man in heaven. and his name is Jesus. The man who once hung upon Golgotha's tree, pinioned by hand and feet with cruel nails, voluntarily gave his holy person to the awful sufferings of the cross. Why was he there? Why, friend, did the Savior die? God's precious word tells us Christ also suffered for sins, the just one for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Reconciliation to God through the sufferings and the death of our Lord Jesus Christ for sinners at Calvary. And God raised him from the dead the third day, the first day of the week, and he took him into heaven 40 days later. He's gone into heaven. The man of Calvary is living in heaven tonight to receive to himself all that will put their trust in him for their salvation. He's the one who sends out the invitation. He's the one, friend, who sends his word to you tonight while there is still opportunity. Take a look around you and realize that the nations are moving and the day of opportunity for you to believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is limited. Take a good look into heaven, and the man in heaven is the Savior of sinners. And he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. What said God to Abraham as he stood upon a mountain? A tremendous moment. A traumatic moment. The son of his love lay upon an altar, bound by hand and foot. A fire was soon to be set to the wood. Oh, what a moment. God said, "Behind you, Abraham. Behind you. Take a look back." Friend, we'd like you to take a look back tonight. Not to the chair behind you. Not a look back in your history. But look back to the history of Calvary. God wants you to look back at Calvary. What is there? God provided a substitute for Isaac. And my friend, that's the great truth of Calvary. The Bible puts it this way. Christ died for the ungodly. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Says the dear beloved Apostle Paul, he grasped that truth. He took a good look back to the cross. He'd never seen any value in the sufferings of the Lord Jesus before. There was a time in my life when I saw no value in his suffering. I knew that he'd suffered there as a Savior. I knew that he was God. I never questioned that. I knew that he was upon the cross because of the sin question. I never questioned that. But one Sunday night I saw for the first time in my life, he was there for me. My sins nailed into that tree. The Son of God, says Paul, he loved me and he gave himself for me. Oh, marvelous giving in all the fullness of his person. Pleasing God in all his ways and in all his person, a perfect man, a perfect Savior, and he gave himself for me. I love to sing those words, and I often sing when I'm driving my car, nobody else can hear me, but I sing them. Last and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die, would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon that tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. My Redeemer, oh, what beauty in that lovely name appear. None but Jesus in his glory could that honored title wear. My Redeemer, oh, how sweet to call him mine. When tonight I wish that you could see that's what God is seeking to lay out before you tonight, that the man of Calvary, as you would look back to the suffering of Calvary, as you would look back to the sufferings of the cross of Christ, when the Lord Jesus yielded himself to the sorrows of the cross and entered into those 3 long dark hours when he was laid in the lowest pit, that God was dealing with him on behalf of sinners that they might receive the good news in a day of opportunity that is still with us. And the Bible says it so clearly. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And as I sit down, well, I do not have time to look at what Abraham saw when he looked ahead. But then I hope that you'll look ahead tonight. Could I just ask you, what do you have to look forward to in your future? I don't mean your little life. I mean when you have to say last goodbye. And I've had to do that with loved ones. It's a solemn thing. I remember putting my arm around my dear dad's neck. He didn't even know me. But when I said goodbye, Dad, I love you. You've been a good father. So hard to say. So hard. Then when they say that to you, what comes next? That's your future. In my Bible, your Bible shows there's only a heaven and there's only a hell in the future. Which would it be for you if you said your last goodbye tonight? Take a good look ahead. You know what Abraham saw? With Christ. Oh my, that's what I see too now. That's what God's given me the assurance of. Look at my little past. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that means judgment, don't question it because God says it, whosoever believeth in him, that's just putting my salvation in his hand, that's trusting him. My salvation is trusted to the man of Calvary. But God says it is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. And he says, God help you to see tonight. Take a good look back to Calvary. Trust the man who lives in heaven tonight to receive you and save you, the Lord Jesus Christ.